Let's turn to Obadiah. You open your Bible to the middle if you're new at this, and then turn to the right a little bit, and you'll see Isaiah and Jeremiah and Daniel. Keep on going. You'll get into those smaller prophets, Amos, and pretty soon you'll see Obadiah, but you might miss it. It's only one chapter. Don't pass over it. Obadiah 15, God tells us this in His Word. The day of the Lord is near for all nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your deeds will return upon your own head. That's just God emphasizing what He said in Scripture many times. You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. And then let's turn to Jonah, the next book after Obadiah. And in Jonah chapter 1, look at verse 3. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. You ever try to run away from the Lord? You ever try to run away from something He's telling you? Maybe do this. He's put it on your heart. But you don't want to. You've gone the other way. Don't do that. Don't run from the Lord. And in chapter 2, look at verses 6 and 7. Jonah's run from the Lord, and now he's been thrown overboard on a ship, and he's sinking down in the depths of the ocean. And then we find verse 6 and 7. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath barred me in forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. When you're at rock bottom, God's there for you. He's the place to go. And in chapter 3, look at verse 1 and 2. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. God gave him another chance. God spoke to him the first time. He ran. He went the other way. God gave him a second chance. He gave him another chance after he repented, after he got right with God. We love a second chance, don't we? Thank the Lord. We have a God of second chances when we mess it up. Thank the Lord for Him. I noticed how much we love second chances. I heard the other day that at Christian's Gymnastics, there was a little boy that kept on misbehaving over and over and over in the class. And the teacher finally said, I'm walking you to your parents. And the boy went and come. So he actually pretty much had to carry the boy and picked him up and took him to. And the boy was just kicking and screaming, saying, give me a second chance. Please give me another chance. Please give me another chance. We long for that, don't we? We have a God of second chances. Then look at chapter 4, verse 2, and then look at verse 7. He prayed to the Lord, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. We see who God is there. We see some of His nature revealed. And then look at verse 7 also. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the vine so that it withered. God had provided a vine to give Jonah some comfort, and now God appointed a worm, some translations say. God chose a worm and sent him for a task. I praise the Lord for that, because I'm not much more than a worm. And I tell you what, the Lord can take me and He can take any of you here and appoint you for a task and choose you. And He does it continuously, calling you to different things. I want you to go and do this and this. If He can use a worm, He can use you. He can use me. Then let's look at Romans. Turn over to Romans chapter 5. Romans 5, look at verse 8. God tells us this. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God knew all of your sins and He still decided to die for you. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 4. You just saw this illustrated and you just heard these verses quoted and you saw these two young men live out this verse. For we were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Have you believed and been baptized? Then turn over to Proverbs chapter 20. You can, if you're new at this, open the Bible to the middle. You'll turn backwards a little bit. If you see Psalms, go forward a little bit. It's that next book after Psalms. You'll see Proverbs chapter 20. In verse 4, God tells us this. A sluggard does not plow in season, so at harvest time he looks but finds nothing. We've got to do things in God's time, in the opportunity that He gives, in the moments that He gives. That's when we've got to do it. Chapter 21, verse 5. The plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. Well, turn with me to John chapter 1. And we'll dive down in the scripture here. John chapter 1. This message is entitled, Christmas, God Has Come to Us. Christmas, God has come to us. Let me pray. Father, we just thank You. We thank You for that truth. Lord, we thank You that You have come. That You, Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, You entered time and space, the Word of God made flesh. You put on a human body. You've always existed. You're eternal God. But You put on a human body. You entered the womb of the Virgin Mary. And Lord, You were born into this world. You dwelled among us. You lived among us 33 years. And You went to that cross. You're our Savior and we praise You. Lord, we ask that You'd speak to us through Your written Word, through Your living Word. I ask that You'd move me out of the way and that we'd hear Your voice right now. Make our hearts ready and soft and receptive. Please speak to us now. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. In sending Jesus Christ into the world, what we're about to celebrate here this Christmas, what we've been looking forward to in Advent, celebrating this coming of God into the world. Perhaps this is God's ultimate form of communication. You know, if God ever wanted us to know Him, He's got to reveal Himself. We can't just figure out who God is on our own. We can't just think it up and know who God is. If God wanted us to know Him, He must reveal Himself. He must show Himself. And so God has done that throughout the ages. He's revealed Himself and He's communicated with us through His revelation of Himself and His ways and His expectations. He's shown us who He is, and we can know Him, and we can know what He's like. And perhaps that greatest form of communication was when He came to earth in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He lived on the earth for 33 years. And that was God in a human body. And so we got to see what He's like and what He does. And He communicated through the person of Jesus. He revealed Himself in the person of Jesus. Look at John chapter 1. Let's read these first 14 verses together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world. And though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of a human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Maybe it's kind of like the little girl that was being put down to bed, and her dad was doing a little devotion with her before she went to sleep that night. It was around Christmas time, and in the devotion they came across that he was Emmanuel, and which means God with us. And she began to inquire about that and ask him, well, why? Why did God come to be with us, Daddy? Why did God come to be with us? And the dad tried to communicate to her that God wanted to reveal himself, and he wasn't sure how to explain this to her, but he noticed her ant farm up on the counter, and he saw the glass case and the dirt in there and all the little ants that had made their trails and how they were living in there. He said, honey, if you wanted to talk to your ants and you wanted to give them a message and you wanted to let them know you and get to know you, what would you do? How would you do it? And she started to think, and she said, well, I would just try to talk to them the best I could. He said, would they understand you? And she said, no. And then it finally dawned on her, and her eyes got big, and she said, oh, you know what I would do? I would become an ant, and then I would go in there, and then I would tell them all about myself. And he said, you got it, honey. God couldn't just talk to us. If God wanted to reveal himself to us, this is one of the ways he chose. He came here. He became one of us. He lived among us. Jesus is God. That's the first thing we notice in these verses here. Jesus is God. It says, in the beginning, we see that in the first three verses. In the beginning was the Word, with a capital W, indicating deity. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And so you have this Word that's with God. And it says, in the beginning was the Word. So in the beginning, at the beginning of all time, when the clock started, when time was invented, and when God made time, and time started, the Word was already there. So He's before time. He's eternal. Before the beginning, He was there. He's always been. The Word is eternal. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. So you have the Word and God separate. And the Word was God. Excuse me. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So the Word was with God and the Word was God. Well, that doesn't make sense with our human minds. We can't understand that. This is Trinity. This is what we've called Trinity, where God has revealed himself And we can't comprehend who He is, but we know it's true, and we know what God's Word says is true, and we know this from God's Word, that God is one, and that He exists in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and that each person is fully God by themselves. The Father is fully God. Jesus Christ is fully God. The Holy Spirit is fully God. And so we see that. We see Trinity here. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. Who are we talking about here? The Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He's eternal. He's always been. Through Him all things were made. So this Word is the Creator. This Word created all things. Through the Word everything was created. And we find out in verse 14, I'm jumping way ahead, but we find out in verse 14 that the Word is Jesus. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. The Word, who is eternal and always has been and is God and is with God and who created everything, who everything was made through Him, He became flesh. He put on a human body, the womb of the Virgin Mary. And He made His dwelling among us. And the Word of God, eternal, lived among us for 33 years, the Creator of everything. So Jesus is God. Secondly, and let me ask you, do you know that He's God? Do you know that in your heart? Excuse me. That He is God. You must believe that to receive Him, to have eternal life. You must believe and know that. 1 John chapter 4 says that's the way you tell false teaching from true teaching. What do they believe about Jesus? You can read it yourself. God says, test every spirit to see whether they're from God. And if they acknowledge that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, in other words, that He is who He claimed to be, that He is God in the flesh, then that's from God. And so you cannot say, well, Jesus isn't totally God and know Him. You don't know Him yet. So Jesus is God. Secondly, we see that He is light and life and came to us. He is light and life and came to us. We see this in verses 4 through 9. In Him was life, and that life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. Verse 8, He Himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. That's Jesus. We see in verses 4 through 9 that He is light. Jesus is light and He is life. And He came to us. We know it later in His life. In John chapter 8, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Jesus said, I am the light. Jesus said, I am the life. When His friend Lazarus was dead, He spoke to one of His sisters and He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the life. He said it again in John 14. When Jesus was talking about going off to heaven, and Thomas said to Him, Lord, we don't know where You're going. How can we know the way there? And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. He is the life. He is light. And He is life. John the Baptist came as a witness. Somebody to point to the light, to say, here is the light. Here is the one. So that people would believe. Have you received His life and His light? You see, He's the one who opened your eyes so you can see the spiritual. He's the one that gives light, gives you guidance, lets you know God's will, what He desires. He's the one that gives you life. He said in John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. He came to give you the full life. Life as it's meant to be. Eternal life. He came to give you life forever. That you would live forever and never die. He came to give you abundant life here on the earth. That when you receive Him, that's when it begins. True life. Not fabricated life tainted by our sin, but He came to give you life. The way it was originally meant to be in the Garden of Eden, before sin ever came along, before death ever came along. Life. He is life and He is light so that you can see. And true life. You know how beneficial light is. Last night, I had lost something right there outside. And I needed light to look. I couldn't find it at all. I needed light to look in these bushes, to look for this. And through that light, it was revealed. And I found it. He gives spiritual light that we all need. Next, we notice His creation did not receive Him. Except for some. His creation did not receive Him except for some. We see that in verses 10 through 13. It says in 10, He was in the world. Remember, the whole world was made through Him. He is the Creator. So He was in that which He made. He was in the world. And though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. Yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave them the right to become children of God. Just like that ant farm. He came there and He had made all people. And He came to earth and yet people didn't recognize Him. People didn't receive Him. The one who had made them was standing before them and they rejected Him. But some did. Some believed, and it's the same way today. Many people here today don't believe or don't receive Him. But there are some, like the two young men that you saw this morning, there are some that do. Some that will receive Him and believe and recognize Him. And finally, He is the Word that became flesh and lived among us. We see that in verse 14. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen the glory of the one and only who came from the Father. It goes on from there. God has revealed Himself through His Word throughout the ages. At first, God revealed Himself through the prophets. And we have all the books of the prophets. And when God spoke His Word, He would speak through the mouths of the prophets. And then finally, there's this time that God would enter time and space and He'd come into the world. And then He would speak through the person of Jesus. And He did that. For 33 years, God spoke through Jesus. And now, Jesus has ascended to heaven and God has given us His final form of His Word, His written Word. And now, anytime you want to hear God speak and you want to hear the voice of God, all you have to do is get a Bible and read it. And then you're hearing from God. You're hearing His voice. And through these means, He has communicated who He is, His message to us. He is the Word that became flesh and lived among us. The people saw His glory for those 33 years. He walked on water. He healed people. He raised the dead. He came full of grace and truth. He said, I am the way and the truth. Do you believe? Do you believe Him? Have you heard His voice? Have you received His light and His life? Maybe you're here this morning and you know that you haven't given your life to Him. You haven't trusted in Him for the forgiveness of His sin, for your sins. Well, you can acknowledge that right now. You can declare, Jesus, I believe You are God. You're my light. You're my life. You came for me. And though much of your creation has not received You, this morning I will, Jesus. I believe You. I'm going to be one of those that does receive You. You said narrow is the path that leads to life and only a few find it. I want to be one of those few. You said broad is the path that leads to destruction and many are on it. I don't want to be one of them, Lord. I want to be one of the few that find You, that truly believe. Maybe that's you this morning. And then you acknowledge, Lord, I know that You are the Word that became flesh. That You're a personal God. You actually put on human skin. You've walked where I've walked. You've been there and done that. So, Lord, I turn to You. Maybe that's you this morning. I'm going to say a prayer and you can call out to Him like that. If you want to receive Him, be one of those who receives Him. And maybe you already have. Maybe that's you. You've already received Him. You know Him as Lord and Savior. Maybe His message for you this morning is, as you go through your daily life, when you leave here this morning, and then throughout the rest of Christmas and throughout the rest of today, maybe your heart needs to be and your prayer needs to be in everything that you do to acknowledge these things. To say, Jesus, I know You're God. You are Almighty God. In whatever I'm facing in life, the next steps that You're calling me to take, whatever it is, wherever I'm heading from here, from this worship service, Jesus, I acknowledge that You are God. If I already know You, and You're with me, and You are light and life. In other words, You are guiding me continually. You're my way. As I keep my eyes fixed on You, Your Word tells me the Lord will guide you continually. That even if I go to the far end of the sea, even there Your hand will guide me. That You are my light. Jesus, You said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows Me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So maybe you need to walk out this morning saying, Jesus, You're God. You're my light. You're going to guide me continually all the rest of this day. You're my life. You're the abundant life. And that's what You want for me. How do I know You want that for me? Because You came here for me. You came to this earth. You went through a lot of trouble for me to have these things. So I thank You, Lord. I believe You're God, that You're my light. You're my guide. Continually, whatever I face today, You're my life, my abundant life. You came to me, so I know You want to give me these things. And though much of Your creation has not received You, I have, Lord. I receive You. And I thank You that I have responded, that I'm one of the few, that I've responded to You. And Lord, I acknowledge that You are the Word that became flesh and lived among us. So I acknowledge that You are personal, that You are my friend, Jesus, that You are closer to me than my next breath. You are closer to me than I can imagine. You're nearer than I think, and You're a personal God. Maybe that's what your heart needs to be. Well, let's pray together. Father, if there are any, Lord, that need to receive You, Lord, maybe they want to come off that broad road that leads to destruction, and they want to step on the narrow road of You that leads to life. Help that person, Lord, to say, Jesus, I need You. Save me from my sins. I believe that You did all of this for me, that You took my punishment, that You're on the cross, that You're raised from the dead. And I step onto the narrow road. I give You my life, Jesus. I trust You and You alone to save me from my sins. Help me to follow You. I give You all that I am, Lord. I'm Yours. Father, I thank You that if anybody has sincerely, with their heart, called out to You, that You have done it, Jesus. Help them to acknowledge that and celebrate that with all of us and declare it. And be Your public disciple. Help them to, as the song comes next, help them to step out of their seat and come and share that with Your people, Lord. That we may rejoice with them, that they may get baptized. And Lord, also help the rest of us, Lord, who already know You, to walk out of here and continuously the rest of today and this Christmas season to say, Lord, in everything, you are God, Jesus. Thank you. You are all powerful. You are God. You are with me. You're my light. I know you're guiding me. Continue. You're my life. You're the abundant life. And that you came for me. So you want to bestow these things on me. Lord, I thank you that though much of your creation does not receive you, that I have. Lord, thank you for helping me respond to you. And Lord, I thank you that you're a personal God. That you became flesh and you lived among us, Lord. You've been through whatever I'm going through. You've been there and done that. Thank you, Lord, that you're with me. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if God has done something in your heart, if he's spoken something to you, come and share that. As Chris leads us in this song, you come and share that with me. I'll rejoice with you. And if you need prayer, you can pray at the altar here. I can pray with you. And if you've responded, if you've given your life to Jesus, then you come and share that with us.